thank you so much for being here. Yes, so we're all here, I hope. Otherwise, you have to be in a different room to talk about elections. And why you don't have to trust us, or maybe you shouldn't trust us, that's up to you. At the end of this presentation, you can make up your own mind. But as I work for the Dutch Electoral Council, I'll explain a bit more what we do in a little bit. But our mission is that in the Netherlands, everyone can trust the outcome of elections. Very nice. But before we start, let's practice a little bit, right? Let's have an election. Because I think it's very important that we are here all today gathered as hackers. So we should kind of deal with this for once and for all. So which is the best? I'm going to show you two pictures. I'd like you to raise your hand afterwards. So I'm going to show them first and then you can vote. As hackers, I trust that you vote, you know, only once and all that kind of stuff. So which is best? We're going to have a vote. It's either a Star Trek or it's Star Wars. Of course, there's you cannot vote for both. I'm sorry, you cannot. So please raise your hand if Star Trek is the best. I see a lot of hands here. All right. That's yeah, that's disqualified, yeah. Star Wars? Yay! Yeah. Yeah, clearly Star Wars won, right? Clearly. Like, come on, Star Wars is the winner here. I'm sorry for all your Star Trek fans. So, actually, it is fun, right? The reason I'm saying Star Wars won is actually to prove a point. It's that if you have a very transparent voting system, like we just had, then I can announce the wrong winner, but you all know it's wrong, because you could see who was the actual winner. And this is actually something we at the Dutch Electoral Council find very important, that there's a lot of transparency in our voting process so everyone can determine the outcome of the elections without having to trust some authority or some woman standing here declaring Star Wars is the best. So what happens if you do not have trust in elections? What's the other side? And I'm not at liberty to take that as an example. I tried, I wasn't allowed. So I work for the Dutch government, we still kind of try and be friendly. However, Venezuela is a different story, so I could give you that example, as I just did. There were some issues regarding their election process not that long ago, and it caused quite an uproar, to say lightly. But sometimes I get asked the question, who would want to manipulate elections in the Netherlands? No one wants to manipulate elections in the Netherlands, except for Mendel, which is why we hired you. But, you know, and I always, there's one example that I love of the Dutch elections. It's quite old. It's from 2006. And it was a man who tried to, well, manipulate might be a big word, but he tried to, you know, influence the outcome of the municipality elections of the place where he lived. And he actually went door to door in the place where he lived, and he asked people for their proxy vote. And at this time, you could have an unlimited amount of proxy votes. So you could vote for someone else if they gave you their proxy vote, right? So he would go door to door, and he would offer people, random strangers, either 50 euros or a box of mushrooms. Like normal mushrooms, not the magical mushrooms, like the ones you would eat normally, like in an omelet. Well, you could do both, but anyway. The ones he offered were the ones you could buy in a grocery store. And a fun story, turns out he got, how many did he get? Well, it's somewhere in this story, but he got hundreds of proxy votes. And mostly people chose the mushrooms. They didn't choose the money. So I love this story. So who would want to manipulate the elections in the Netherlands? Well, actually, we've had some stories where people tried. So evidently, there are people who try to do that. But I mentioned it a couple of times already. I work for the Dutch Electoral Council. That's me trying to pretend I'm working. I'm their CISO. I've done that for about 2 years now. We are a government body. We are an election authority in the Netherlands. This is our voorzitter, I don't know the English word, Wim? Chairman, thank you so much, thank you. So that's Wim. And we are a central polling station for countrywide elections. So we actually announce the results, although no one in the Netherlands knows that because no one watches the announcement of the results. They all think the media does that, but it's actually us, but no one knows. So, yeah, thank you. You're awesome. So we are the central polling station for nationwide elections, and we announce the results, but we also give advice, and we make software. We do all kinds of cool stuff, about which I'm going to tell you a bit more. So we don't actually make this software, but I have to tell you about this software first before we can talk about the even cooler software. So this is OSV, which stands for Ondersteunende Softwareverkiezingen. And this is actually software made in Germany for us in the Netherlands. And we use this to tally votes. So we don't vote with voting machines. If you're not from the Netherlands, we vote using paper. But we tally votes, or we have support for tallying votes with software. We are moving away from that. I'll tell you a bit. So it's released by us, but it's made in Germany. It's mainly open source. Yes, that is hilarious. I will not go into that in detail. If you're interested, I will talk to you about it later. But it's mainly open source. It's made in modules. So it's you have a module that's made for political parties to make their candidate list. There's a module for the results. And they all work together using EML extension, which I'll talk to you about a bit more later. It's used decentralized and air-gapped, so everyone has their own little LAN network where they install the software, and that's how it's used. So there's no cloud, there's no internet, or not supposed to be any. And we do pen testing of this software. We publish the reports on our website, so if you're interested, you can look at all the pen testing reports. And you can actually download the software from our website as well if you're interested to play elections from your house. But, like I said, we're actually working on even cooler software, and that is called Abacus. And Abacus is fully open source, which is way better. And it's made in Rust with TypeScript React as a front end. And, of course, it's made by us, so it's no longer made by Germany, or German company, actually. It's also air-gapped and decentralized, and it's way awesome. But I understand that some people will go, software, but we use paper, so how does that work? I have to tell you a bit about EML first. It's not email, it's not the email extension, it's .eml. It's election markup language, and it's an XML-based international standard, and we have our own dialect, which is the email underscore NL, and it's a standard format to publish election results and other election data, such as candidate lists, and we in the Netherlands are the maintainer of the email underscore NL version. So how does this actually work? You know, we have elections, you vote, and then how does it turn into email? Well, I try to explain it like this. So this is the LAN network at your municipality, right? And this is one of our servers. So we have two servers, and before we actually start elections, you install OSV now, but later you will install Abacus. Oh, very important to explain. This is how it's run now. It might change in the future when we use Abacus. So this is how OSV is used. Very important. So you install OSV on a local network, and it will produce a key pair, a public key and a private key. Obviously, you keep the private key, but you upload your public key to one of our servers. Then you have the day of the vote. So people vote. You know how that works. Paper, pencil, or in my case, nail polish. It's allowed. Not many people know that. You actually are allowed to vote with anything you want as long as it's red. Yes, you can use blood. It's not very hygienic. Please don't do that. Also, I cannot recommend nail polish. You stand there for ages. You have to wait until it's dry. It doesn't, you know, try the pencil, it works, yeah. So anyway, you vote. We tally the votes by hand. Yeah, so we tally all the votes. And then we make a handwritten report of the tallying process. So this many votes for that party, this many votes for that party or candidate, depending on your municipality. And that paper report is then uploaded on the, to the website of your municipality. And you can actually go and look at it if you want. You can download it, you can see it. There's no computer here. This is all handwritten with hand tallying. But it's just your municipality and just your polling station. But we need the results for the whole country. And this is where software comes in. So people at your municipality, in two pairs of two at least, will type over the handwritten reports into OSV software. This is done at your municipal level. Then there's a level in between. And then there's the central polling station, which is us. I'm so sorry. You should drink more mate, Mendel.
Yeah.
But you know this story. You've heard it 100 times. I understand. So what happens next is that the polling or like the station after your municipality, they will download your public key from the server. And the software will actually produce a PDF file with a hash. And it will also produce an EML file. And they will upload the EML file and the PDF file with the hash also on their website. So you have the handwritten report as a civilian. You have the output in EML format. And you have it as a PDF. Then, I imagine this is by bicycle. But that's just because I'm Dutch. Someone takes physically the printed out PDF file to the next station. And then the EML file is uploaded to a different server on a different network than the public key, where then the next polling station will download it. So they will now have the PDF with the hash. They have the EML, which is signed with your private key, and they have the public key so they can verify it's actually from you. You is the municipality. And there, actually, the whole process will start again. So they will look at the email file, verify the signature. And actually, there's a process that if the signature is off, or it's wrong, or the key doesn't work, or anything, something's wrong with the email file, they have the legal right to just throw it away. They just throw away the email file. They don't use it. They use only the PDF in that case, and they type it over twice. So they just ignore the email. And they have OSV as well, so they have a public key and a private key, so it works the same way for them, but then towards the central polling station, which is us, the Electoral Council. And we also have a long network with OSV. We also type it over and put in the email file the all the way up until us. And they also publish all their results to the online, to the internet, and so do we. So in the end, I would be very disappointed if this was my whole story and none of you would ask me the question, this whole process sounds very nice, Fleur, but I've spotted a single point of failure, which is actually, let's go back. It's actually this computer right here. So this is all very nice, but if no one looks at the handwritten reports and you hack this software from here on out, everything comes from this computer, right? The PDF file is generated by the computer and the email file is generated by the computer. And if no one ever looks at this, then the results will be whatever comes out of this. So we realize this, which is why we have what's called the Controle Protocol Optillingen, or in English, Protocol Additions. And what does that do? So what we ask municipalities to do, or actually they are obligated to do this, they have to check three random political parties from their report that is output from OSV, and they have to visually check if whatever OSV put out is the same as what they typed in from the handwritten report. And they actually have to upload this protocol online as well for your civilians to see which did they check, and did they find anything out of the ordinary? So you as a civilian can actually see that they checked that, but actually you can check it yourself because you also have the same handwritten report and the output. So if you want, you can do it, but if no one bothers, then at least the process has a check built in that someone has to check if the output is the same. So this detects manipulation, because if the software would output something else, then whatever you put in, you would spot it. Or at least someone in the country would spot it, because you obligate people to check it. So you might think analyzing election results is boring. It is not. We publish all the election results. We do it in email as well as PDF. You can download it from the URL there. But I know EML is not very research friendly. So our awesome colleague, Bert Hubert, made a tool called EML to SQL, and it transforms your EML data into SQLite, which is awesome. Because then you can run all sorts of fun things. So I'm not very good with the one at the top, but I know what happened here. So if you look at the graph at the bottom, you can see that all the way on the left, there's one little stripe here. And what this is showing is if you go to a polling station to vote, you have your voting pass, right? You have to give them your voting pass, and then you get a ballot and you can vote. And what this does, it compares the amount of voting passes that were taken in with the amount of ballots that were counted. Because if it's off, someone might be stuffing ballots, or you know, there might be some manipulation. And Bert, his tool, he found something weird. He found that at one polling station there were about 200 ballots missing compared to the voting passes, and at another one they had almost 200 more ballots than they had voting passes. So he thought that's strangely similar to each other, like that's weird. And he actually found out that there's a polling station, I believe it's in The Hague or Delft, I don't know. There's a polling station that's actually two polling stations in the same building, and they are separated by like, I don't know, like a line or something. And voters actually put their ballot in the wrong box. And he found all that out just because of his awesome tool. You can find cool stuff like this too if you download his tool from GitHub. Please do, because it comes with some interesting views. So in the end of this presentation, I have a QR code for our GitHub. Yes, it is truly from our GitHub. It does not contain malware. And I have a QR code for our Mastodon if you're interested. So you don't have, if you want to type over the URL, don't bother. You can use the QR code. And we are very happy to take your contribution to any of our tooling, including the software we are making. So if you're interested, please have a look. So this presentation is called Don't Trust Us, because you don't have to. So why don't you have to trust us? Well, let's just say not everyone is as good with computers as you are. Like some people, most people, I would say, are not as good with computers as you are. But you don't have to be, because if you have no computer knowledge, you can check this whole process as well. Because you can actually be present when we tally votes. So you can view boxes being dumped. You can view the voting process or the counting process. And you can be there if you want to, when people put in the software the amounts, if you're interested. You can actually have a look at the handwritten report, not the one online, but the physical handwritten report with the results. You are allowed to photograph with your phone or whatever this report, just not the autographs from the people that run the polling station, but you're allowed to take pictures of the physical handwritten report. You can, of course, have a look at the PDF files. And there's the protocol additions that I talked to you about, which is also online. So even if you have no computer knowledge, you don't understand EML, it doesn't matter. You can still check that the voting process and the election was run reliably. But if you are so inclined to check it digitally, there are also options. So you can look at all the online documents, like I mentioned, the protocol additions, the reports, the EML file. You can look at the output, which is sometimes, because we do this, by the way, we do it as well at the Electoral Council. So we check if municipalities have uploaded everything they should be uploading. We call them if they are late or not on time. But we also check the output. So I actually, with our data scientists, we found an EML file that was inconsistent with the PDF. And we were like, how is that even possible? Like, the software, it just generates this. And we were really trying to figure out how this happened. And then we called the municipality and we said, you know, these things, they are inconsistent. What happened? And they just went, oh, yeah, we manually changed it. We just went into Excel and then we changed it because, there was a mistake and we thought it's too much to go all the way back to, you know. So we just changed it by hand, which, of course, causes all sorts of weird things to happen because all the cross-referencing, it goes wrong and everything. So, in the end, they had to go through the formal way of making the changes so everything was right again. So, like I mentioned, Abacus, it's open source. So if you want to have a look and see how that works, that's possible. And you can use the email to SQL tool Bertmate to do some awesome stuff. Now, if you know me, you know this is my favorite subject, because we used to have voting machines in the Netherlands. So before anyone in the question part of this presentation actually has not a question but a comment and wants to talk to me about voting machines and why we don't have those, because those were so awesome, I really don't expect any of you to ask that. If you do, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in advance, right? So yeah, we used to have these. If you're old like me, you've actually voted on one of these, probably that one. That one was way more popular. This one ran on Windows, which was really bad. But we don't have those anymore. That's why that's a whole different presentation. However, just to make sure that I do mention it, we in the Netherlands, we have principles for trustworthy elections. These are the principles. We actually made up these principles after we got hacked. Like the voting machine on the left I showed you, that got hacked. And then, well, not during elections, luckily, but a hacker caused us to decide, let's not have these voting machines anymore. And if you use voting machines, these are kind of not happening anymore. So it doesn't actually matter if a voting machine, if it's, as we all know, 100% cyber secure, even if it was, these principles are still very difficult to adhere to when you use voting machines. That doesn't mean that paper voting is perfect and there's no risks involved. There is. It's just that there's way more risks when you use digital or voting machines. If you are from Belgium, and you want to have this discussion with me, please do after. Because half of Belgium votes with voting machines. Anyway. What can you do to help if you want to? So first of all, you can volunteer at a polling station. You can actually televote yourself. You can put it into the software yourself if you want to. Please do, because we need a lot of people when we do elections in the Netherlands. You can check out our GitHub and you can contribute. We love you very much if you do it in Rust or like in the front-end TypeScript React. We love it. And you can actually check all these published results that I talked to you about. When we have elections, they will be there next year. There will be municipality elections. And usually when there's national elections, I'm not really sure about municipality elections, but usually when we have national elections, you can go to our website, kieskracht.nl, and you can actually choose your own municipality and it will give you the link to the website. You can have a look at all the paperwork, so you don't have to look and find it yourself. So these are the QR codes I promised you. Just a small reminder, a question has a question mark at the end. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Oh, I have to throw it. Yes, I'm very good with throwing these kinds of things. I'm very happy you're not that far away. Oh, don't fall down.
Will Abacus be available for the gemeenteraadsverkiezingen?
The team leader, yeah, can you give him the microphone? Yeah. This is Niels. Niels is the team leader for the Abacus software that's being made, yeah. So that's why I'm asking him to answer this question.
I'll answer the question like this. Hi, I'm Niels.
Hi, Niels.
Hello, Niels.
We're at some anonymous meeting here.
Your name's not really Niels, is it? No.
We're working towards it, and it depends on whether we meet the goals, and if we pass all the tests. If we meet the criteria, yes, for sure. But we do have a current working production software, so it is also, you know, we're not, there's no rope around our neck. We can still have proper elections if we don't reach this deadline, but definitely it's our goal.
I'm afraid that we actually, if you're not from the Netherlands, we put our ballots in garbage cans, bins. So yeah, that shows you how important we think elections are. Sir, you had a question? Oh, that beeped. Could you? Yeah, thank you so much.
Will there be for security reasons use Linux or BSD?
Yes, that's actually mandatory. So it's a legal requirement that we offer at least one open source operating system compatibility with our software. So, but I say reality shows most municipalities use Windows. No, but it is a requirement, actually. We have, for us, they don't have to use it, that's right. Yeah, but we have to offer the possibility to put it on an open source operating system, yeah. Anyone else?
You showed that like the German software is like your single point of failure, but you didn't told me, at least I don't remember what your new software, how it should replace a single point of failure, like what's their benefit?
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons. That's a very good question. So there's a couple of reasons why we're moving away from the German software. It's not that it's not working or that we don't trust it. It's because the German software that we currently have, it's quite complicated. It's written in Java. It's got quite a lot of old libraries. Like I mentioned before, it's not completely open source, but we want software that's completely open source. But because we buy it, we cannot demand for it to be open source because it's kind of off the shelf and then changed for us. And that's why the manufacturer doesn't want to make it completely open source. So these are all factors that made us decide to make our own election software. And then we can make it, you know, adhere to whatever we want. We can make it more appeasing for municipalities that have to use it. Because, you know, like I showed you the screenshot earlier, OSV, it looks kind of old. And sometimes it's counterintuitive. So we have more influence when we make it ourselves. We have more flexibility because we can make changes faster. And from a security standpoint, I'm also very happy. And Mendel wants to say something or ask something.
Yeah, there was also the little thing of if you're the government, you have to publicly do a public offer for companies to make the software again.
A tender.
Public tender. And how do I say this politically correct? It failed miserably.
Yeah, we did, but it failed miserably for a number of reasons.
Yes,
and
yes.
Not just because it was a tender. So there was actually a project in between Abacus and OSV, and that was a different project.
And there are reports written about it, so you can read it all if you want.
Well, thank you guys so much. Have there's another question? No. Oh, there one more. And then, yeah. At least it didn't hurt anyone. Yeah. This time. Yeah.
Will it be used by other countries soon?
I don't know. They are free to use it. It's on GitHub. It's open source. But I have to look at Niels if I'm not lying here. If I'm correct, we are making it in such a... We're trying to make it in such a way that you can actually do other types of elections with it as well as... referendums, But that's all just optional and maybe in the future. It's not in it currently. But you could make it to do those kinds of things.
Or you can fork it.
Can we demo a most poll? You want to do an election? maybe some other time. I know, I talk fast. Okay. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Thank you so much for coming. And thank you.